I call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Friday, March 13th, 2015. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:31 p.m. Committee members present, Vice Chair Senator Costello, Senator Stoltz, Senator Coghill, Senator Walikowski, and myself, Senator Giesel. Excused absence today is Senator Stedman. I believe Senator Machicki is still in the Senate Finance Committee meeting. Thank you to Nancy, who is our recording secretary. Thatcher is helping us out on the audio, and the committee staff aide is Ike. So today's agenda, we are hearing a report from the Alaska Oil and Gas Competitiveness Review Board, presenting its report to the legislature. We have Tom Hendricks of Carlisle, Jerry Burnett of the Department of Revenue, and Carol Moriarty is here with the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. Online, there are four folks: Tim Reihard, Department of Revenue; Donna Keppert from Department of Revenue; Jim Shine, Department of Natural Resources; and Paul Decker, Department of Natural Resources. So, Tom and Jerry, I would invite you to the table. You, Tom and Jerry, oh my. Well, it is Friday the 13th. Welcome. Yep.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the committee for it's an honor to be here in front of you today, Friday the 13th. But we appreciate you having here. For the record, my name is Tom Hendricks. I am the chair for the Oil and Gas Competitiveness Review Board. And just to give you a little bit of background on me, I was born and raised in Fairbanks. I currently reside in Palmer. I've never held any legislative office, so I don't have the best background, but I think that I'm well suited for this board. I've got two adult children that reside in the state, and I also have a grandson that just turned one on the 21st of last month. And so I'm a happy guy. So thank you.
And for the record, I'm Jerry Burnett. I'm the Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue.
Welcome.
How many kids you have?
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was on the speaker.
It's the 13th now.
Yeah, understood.
So the slide that you have in front of you is the overview of the report that we turned in, and I want to preface our conversation today. The report that we have submitted does not meet the statutory requirements of our board. And the factors that brought that about is our board was very late getting started. We were not able to start our work until after the referendum. And we had our first board meeting in August. And we have had 10 subsequent board meetings since then, so we've been diligent at our work. But during that time as well, we had had an administrative change, and we have had some churn on the board with new people joining us that are very capable, but it has been difficult to get to where we're at. The outline, I'm going to pretty much follow the outline with my presentation today to just run down through where we're at, what we've submitted to you. We're pretty proud of the work.
Great.
So I'm certain that everybody is aware that this board was formed as part of Senate Bill 21. And it was created to establish and maintain salient data regarding oil and gas exploration, development, and production. And it's to advise the legislature of Alaska's fiscal system, labor pool, regulatory competitiveness, as well as infrastructure. And the statutory mandates that we have were to give recommendations on or before the 31st of December 2015, and there is no recommendations in here. What we've done is we have compiled the data that we feel will get us to a baseline and a start in a plan forward of how we're going to deliver the board's work. Our board composition is made up of two public members, and the public members that we have are Joey Merrick, who is the business manager and secretary for Alaska Laborers Local 341, and Rodney Brown, who is the business manager for the UA Local 375. The three administration department heads that we have are Commissioner Hoffbeck, who is the Commissioner of Department of Revenue. We have Kristen Ryan, who is filling the seat for DEC, and she is the Response Director and Spill Prevention Coordinator. And we have Mark Myers, who is the Alaska Department, Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. And then we have one commissioner, which is Commissioner Gallagher, who is the commissioner of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Then we have three oil and gas subject matter experts. The petroleum engineer that we have is Pete Stokes, who is with Petrotechnical Resources. We have Kirk Freeman, who is president of Avalon Development, and he is our geologist. And we have Tom Maloney, who's a private citizen, and he is a CPA. And then we have two industry trade group representatives, I'm being one of them, and I represent the Alaska Support Industry Alliance. And then we have Kara Moriarty, who is chair of Alaska Oil and Gas Association. And I'd like Jerry, if he would, to take, Madam Chair, if he could, to talk about how the Department of Revenue, which is a department that we fall under, is handling the staffing and support for our efforts.
Again, this is Jerry Burnett, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. The department, in the fiscal note for this board, just had enough money to do the administrative help, the travel for the board. We've actually have a special assistant to the commissioner who is working closely with the board, who helps write the report, handles the meetings. Tim Reihard is a commercial analyst in the tax division, has been a backup support and doing technical work on behalf of the board. Due to the changeover of administration, the late start of the board and stuff, you'll find that the board, there was an RFP that they put here. We did not receive funding for that, and it came, the board action adopting, deciding that they needed the RFP came later than the budget discussions. So that has not been funded, and I'm sure Tom will speak to the need for that, what it's for, but it will be something that in the amount of about $300,000, and whether we get funding this year or in the future will determine how quickly the board's able to do some of its work.
Madam Chairman, the next slide we have is Alaska peer groups. And as a board, we had to come to a consensus, and this is a view in time. This is a view what we believe today is our competition. Who are we competing for resource development or interest in developing our resources? And all of these are located in the Arctic or North America, Europe, or Pacific regions. All jurisdictions had concessional type fiscal arrangements, tax and royalties, similar to Alaska. There are similar size reserves and undiscovered resource potential, and they have a history of significant hydrocarbon production. And so you can see we have Alaska, California, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Texas, U.S. Gulf of Mexico, OCS, against the Alaska OCS, Alberta, Canada, Northwest Territories, Canada, Beaufort Sea, Australia, Norway, and the United Kingdom. We amalgamated this list actually off of work that the state's already done, and a lot of this content in this presentation, as well as the report that we've done, has been drawn from different state departments, and I have to recognize that all of these different state departments that have provided information for this report have been very helpful and very willing to help us gather data that the state already has, so we could assemble it into a report. If we go to the, we know that Alaska has vast resources, and I say resources, we have resources in red because we do have reserves, but we have a great amount of resources. And this slide you'll find in the report depicts the resource potential that we have, and that's a lot of untapped resources. And it's no secret that Alaska has one third of the nation's reserves here. This slide depicts land and lease sales. We basically have broken it down into three sections, and the federal lands that we have are vast but locked up, and they're also challenging to develop. The private land is the smallest offering that we have here, and that's contrary to many of our peers. So we look at North Dakota, private land's easy to transact, so that is a competing nature that we have to look at. Ownership will never change, but it's one of those things that we have to put on the competitive scale and measure. State lands have the most potential for development in the short term, and the state has more consistent and reliable lease sale programs than the federal government. And the one thing that I can say that we've identified in the work to date is that we have a good leasing program here in the state of Alaska, and you know, that's something that is one piece that we don't have to toggle that switch possibly, but we have to get across all jurisdictions to ground this. This slide shows drilling activity in Alaska, and this is active. This is an AOGCC slide, and this really is a slide that shows total drilling. It shows workover rigs. It shows water wells for disposal. It shows absolutely all the drilling, but you can see that there's a red arrow off to the right-hand side of the slide that shows when SB 21 went into effect, or when the legislation was passed, not when it went into effect. And you can see we just wanted to highlight that and identify it. This measure is going to be different than the measure that we have on the next slide of drilling rig activity, and we wanted to explain ourselves before somebody does a comparison for us. But this is Baker Hughes's rig activity slide, and it tells a good story for the state. It doesn't show the boom and bust to the degree that we see in some of our peer groups like North Dakota and like Texas, where they'll immediately lay down the rigs. And if we look at Alaska, that number is small, the number of drilling rigs that are active, but it's pretty consistent, which we believe tells a story about the state, that we have this consistency that we could improve on, but it is fairly consistent where we see other jurisdictions go through great swings. And potentially, and we'll have to figure out moving forward as the board does its work, we might be a great place to do business during low oil prices. So we have a lot of work to do to figure out really where we most competitive. Is it lower high oil prices, and clip together all the different pieces and details that we have to compare to other jurisdictions. Current North Slope infrastructure and some of the challenges that we're faced with, the infrastructure that we have, we've got a Dalton Highway, a gravel road going to to Prudhoe Bay that's state maintained, and I'm here to tell you, because I represent Carlisle Transportation, that the DOT has done a good job on the budget that they've had to keep that road open, and that is a road to resources. And I feel that if that road is not maintained or we can't get up it, then we don't produce the oil that comes down the pipe that we get our revenues off of. So, you know, I want to recognize the DOT for the great work that they've done. We have met we met with DOT Commissioner Kemp before he was replaced, and his team, and had a very good conversation about infrastructures, ports, bridges, roads, and we need to continue to look at what plans the state might have or has had for roads to resources, and you know, whether there's a road to Umiat. Those are all things that our board is going to have to measure when we compare ourselves to some of the peers that we have in the lower 48. It's pretty easy to get there by road, and our resources are pretty tough to get to, and so to stay competitive, is a road necessary to harvest our resources, and is it the state's responsibility to put the road in? We don't have the answer to those questions, but we'll be able to have a good idea of what our peers have to offer that we don't, or vice versa. This slide it just shows the Cook Inlet, but we want to talk about the Cook Inlet and the Frontier Basin infrastructure. Cook Inlet's established, it's been there for a long time, and it's 34 units or fields all connected to infrastructure to bring oil or gas to processing facilities, and there are processing facilities. There's oil pipelines, dockage, gas storage facilities, and Kenai's booming right now, which is a bright spot during low oil prices. The frontier basins, the six basins, include areas around the Fairbanks area, Glen Allen, Kotzebue, Ammonic, Igigik, and Port Mueller. And these are harder to get to. We have seen activity in the Fairbanks area. So, you know, that if there's resource there, it's close to a market that needs it. So we want to recognize that we have those frontier basin areas, the Cook Inlet, and the North Slope of Alaska, and there is a huge difference when we're doing a comparative of North Slope development versus Cook Inlet development versus the frontier basin. And so not only do we have to do a comparison of one area, we've got three large areas in the state that we really have to compare to all these different jurisdictions, so it's a lot of research. Labor and employment, and I'd be remiss in missing the chance to point out that two of the private folks that we have on our board are representatives of labor. And labor for Alaska to be competitive or for Alaska to do projects around the oil and gas industry, whether it's building pipelines, roads, infrastructure, trained bodies, and the availability of the training centers and the ready labor is something that we're going to have a measurable metric on and start measuring now, and look forward at what plans are out there to have a robust workforce and its opportunities for Alaskans to make a good living instead of having to go somewhere else to do that. And so I think that our study of labor is going to be a very key piece of this research that we're doing. We have met with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development and learned about the training that they currently have. And so this will be a dashboard on our website that you can go to and see how we're progressing on the labor front. Having that labor content on the board is key, and we'd like to maintain that so we have a good idea of where we're at. The next slide, you won't find it in our report, but it's a slide that we wanted to introduce because permitting is another key issue that that keeps popping up, and we don't have a metric or a measurement to tell how well or how difficult it is to deal with the state of Alaska when it comes to getting permits. But if you look on the slide, every box that you see there that's in yellow is something that we could effectively change or fix, or maybe our system's working and we don't know what the other jurisdictions are. I mean, permitting is extremely important to make sure that we're protecting the environment, that we're governing or controlling what's being done on state lands, but it shouldn't be an arduous process that is costly to the producers to get our oil production to market. So this just shows some of the complexity of permitting just a drill site or facility on the North Slope of Alaska. So, you know, there is a local piece, there is a federal piece, but the key, another key piece is the state of Alaska.
Very good. And just for the record, Senator Michiki has joined us. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good afternoon. The next slide is just a slide to depict the different permits that are required for either onshore exploration, offshore exploration, OCS, or onshore development on state lands. And so there's a large amount of permitting that has to be worked and coordinated. And this just gives you a snapshot of what we have expanded on in the report that we've submitted. This is a happy slide. If you look at the snapshot in time, this is 2014, and unfortunately, our slide is not going to look like that if we took a snapshot today. But hopefully, we'll get back there. So, this is just a look at Alaska's. How royalty and different taxes make up Alaska's fiscal system. And so it's not just a tax system, it's a fiscal system for Alaska's oil and gas. Not shown here in this slide is the federal and local taxes that are generated from production of oil and gas in the state of Alaska. Of note on this slide, and this slide, I want to make sure that this is not meant to be a comparison. And this has the what we've identified in our interim report as our peers, and it shows their fiscal system where there are higher taxes in Norway, Australia, and deepwater their fiscal regimes have no royalty. Of course, this is not a comparison, but a snapshot, and nothing remains static for long, especially during low oil prices for many of the jurisdictions that we'll be looking at. Some of them can react faster than others. So, goals and future work. We have prepared an RFP that you should have a copy of that Jerry had touched on. That we're gonna need funding to commission a third party study to be done on behalf of our board that we're not funded for. And in that RFP, we've actually scoped it and we're looking for $300,000. And I know. Right now is not a good time to be looking for funding, but our board got a late start, and it's what we need to continue our work forward. from this, we should be able to report on our recommendations of our next steps after we can get this done, this first hurdle, and continue our work forward. And we have been diligent at our work, getting a volunteer board together to do 10 meetings in 7 months with Christmas and Thanksgiving in there. I have to really recognize all the other board members that have given up the time to the state of Alaska to do this work, because we feel it's extremely important, and we've got a very, very strong board that's willing to work. Jerry, could you speak a little bit to our
to the RFP issue? I think I mentioned that this is Jerry Burnett again, for the record. At the beginning, I spoke a little bit about the fact that because of the time, you start developing agency budgets and budget requests back in July, and you work through the process, and you get to December. Well, here we have this board that's starting up, realizes what they need, and they come here. We have developed, working with them, we have a draft RFP, so it could go on the street as soon as there was funding available. We didn't include it in our budget request. It's not in the governor's budget request. We have Tom and Kara, and I spoke with the governor's office today, and I think the administration will support funding if it finds its way into a budget bill, but it's not something that fits into the amendment. So just so you know, but if that funding were to come through, we'd be able to get the RFP on the street. We're very the board and has talked about this, and there may be other sources of funding, but what we're trying to do, or what the board's trying to do here, is make sure you have a publicly funded, independent look, which is driven by the board rather than coming from any industry group, or we could find the same information with department staff, but again, you're going to have a credibility issue, a potential credibility issue, so that's why it's done in this direction.
Madam Chairman, mm-hmm. we think about if we don't get this funding, a couple of things are going to need to happen. We have a mandate to deliver a report to this committee that we can't deliver right now. We're late in delivering. And we have, if you can flip to the next slide, a future deliverable after we get over our first statutory report that's due on January 15th of 2017. Should we not be funded, and we go through a delay of almost an entire year, we're going to have to get legislation to push these mandated dates out, because we won't be able to deliver what we've been mandated to deliver. And I just, we've got two deadlines. We also have one in 2021. And so respectfully, I just wanted to come to the legislature not saying that we haven't done our work, because absolutely we have worked hard, but we've got a timeline, and we're not going to make it if we don't have funding to continue our work.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Machiki had a question.
Just a question for you. Is there a reason you wouldn't issue the RFP just to have a better understanding of what the study costs might come in at? I may have missed that. I was late. But
Senator Machiki, through the chair, I am not super versed in state protocol. I work for a private business, and my sense was that you would put out an RFP and ask for a price of what will it cost to do this. But after running this through the state DOR, meeting the state's protocols we had to write the RFP as is. So absolutely, that is a good question, but and I hope that Jerry might be able to give a better answer.
Okay. Again, this is Jerry Brent, through the chair to Senator Machiki. We could do an RFI and ask for information, see who's out there, what the price would be. I believe that having done a number of consultant studies over the years, we feel pretty, I believe that the people working on this felt pretty confident that the $300,000 ask is probably close to what it would cost. And it would be a limited, you know, we don't say we're going to pay $300,000 for something, bid on it. It's, we have up to $300,000, and then you do it on a bid basis.
Thank you.
Good, thanks.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Stoltz.
Thank you. Up in the state, when we put out that, they know how much we have, that sort of sets the price. Is there a way you can go out and do some fishing before we put all your gear together?
Through the chair to Senator Stoltz, we can certainly do fishing, but you know, we want to be able to actually execute on a contract when we are done with it.
I just worried, Madam Chair, we just have this trend. If they know how much money we have, that's what the bids come in. Mm.
Thank you, Senator Stoltz. All right.
Madam Chair, if there is no other questions, I do want to thank the committee for its time, but I also want to thank the departments that have assisted us in giving presentations and information and helping us dig for what the state already has and has paid for. But I'd like to recognize the Department of Revenue, Department of Natural Resources, Department of Labor, Department of Transportation, Department of Environmental Conservation, and the AOGCC. All of those departments that are very busy have been very helpful in helping the staff get this together.
Very good. Well, thank you. Any questions from committee members? All right, seeing none, it is a formidable undertaking, and I'm sure getting all of the board members up to speed was a challenge and probably will be going forward. I mean, there's always new information. So it's a big task. Thank you for taking it on.
Thank you.
All right, if there's no other questions, that concludes our agenda for today. So thank you, committee members. Our next meeting is Monday, March 16th. We'll be taking up House Joint Resolution number 4, as well as the governor's appointee for attorney general. So at this time, I will adjourn the meeting. The time is 4:04 p.m.